Module 7, the Statutory Bars. 35 U.S.C. 102 is entitled Conditions for Patentability, Novelty and Loss of Right to Patent. This statute provides the reasons why a patent application might not be allowed due to issues with novelty and statutory bars. 35 U.S.C. 102 is broken up into several different subsections, all dealing with these statutory bars. There are two versions of 35 U.S.C. 102, pre-AIA and post-AIA. AIA stands for America Invents Act. One of the biggest impacts of the AIA was the conversion to the first inventor-to-file system, which impacts 35 U.S.C. 102. The America Invents Act, AIA, version of 35 U.S.C. 102 became effective March 16, 2013. It covers the statutory bars related to the first inventor-to-file system. The older version of 35 U.S.C. 102, called pre-AIA, covers the statutory bars related to the first-to-invent system. This module provides an introduction to both versions of 35 U.S.C. 102. 35 U.S.C. 102, First-to-Invent System, pre-AIA. This version of 35 U.S.C. 102 applies to patent applications that do not have a claim with an effective filing date on or after March 16, 2013. Since the patent examination process is so lengthy, this older version may still apply for a number of years. This statute provides the reasons why a patent application might not be allowed due to issues with novelty and statutory bars. For example, an application may be banned from gaining a patent if the subject matter was already patented. Alternately, if the invention was not already patented, but someone wrote about it in a journal, then that invention may still be barred under 35 U.S.C. 102. Another statutory bar deals with inventorship. In every application, the actual inventors must be listed as the inventors of the patent. Therefore, if Sally invents a crystal cutter and shows it off to her boyfriend Joe, Joe cannot run off and patent Sally's idea. If he does, and he is discovered, his application will be rejected under 35 U.S.C. 102. All in all, there are 7 subsections of pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102. These are sections A through G. We will discuss each of these important subsections in detail since they are fairly complex and throw a wrench in many inventors' quest for a patent. More than one 35 U.S.C. 102 rejection may be applied to a single application. Keep in mind that this breakdown of 35 U.S.C. 102 is the pre-AIA version that only applies to patent applications that do not have a claim with an effective filing date on or after March 16, 2013. We'll discuss the newer version later. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102A. Let's start at the beginning. 35 U.S.C. 102A is a fairly straightforward statutory bar, although it does have a few subtleties to it. Basically, your application will be rejected under 102A pre-AIA if the invention you were trying to patent was already known or used by others in this country. In addition, the invention cannot have been patented or described in a printed publication here in the U.S. or even in a foreign country. These statements encompass quite a bit of potential prior art. To help clarify, if a patent for the same subject matter as yours, or the applicant, has been granted anywhere in the world, the application will be rejected under 102A. In addition, even if the invention was just mentioned in a publication anywhere in the world before the application was filed, the invention will be barred from gaining a patent. If the invention was publicly known about or used in the U.S., then it will also be barred from obtaining a patent. The terms known or used are a little general. To clarify, the PTO interprets these terms very specifically. Use refers to any imaginable use of the invention. However, there is one exception, and that is to a secret use or secret knowledge by another person. The use or knowledge must be publicly available and not be kept secret for it to qualify as a bar under 35 U.S.C. 102. Therefore, if Joe secretly uses his new battery recharger in his garage and lets no one else know about it, the invention will not be barred under 102A. Next, let's discuss what may or may not be considered a printed publication in regards to prior art. The PTO takes printed publications to mean any item that is provided in an easily reproducible form, even if no one has ever looked at it. This means that a thesis shelved away in a quiet, dusty corridor of a library out in the middle of nowhere will count. If a graduate student thinks up the same subject matter as you years or even months before you apply for a patent, and they describe it in their thesis, which is indexed and placed in the library, you will receive a rejection under 102A. And it gets even worse. An orally presented paper may count as a printed publication too, if it is presented in a public forum and written copies are given out. Leaving nothing for the imagination, the PTO has predetermined that between 50 and 500 people must attend the public forum, and at least 6 copies of the paper must be given out for it to qualify as a printed publication. There is yet another key word to note in 102A. This section states if the invention was known or used by others, a patent cannot be granted. To clarify, by others refers to any entity different from you. Therefore, if you and your buddies, Joe and Frank, publish a paper in the U.S. on making porcelain, and you later apply for a patent by yourself on the same method for making porcelain, the publication will be considered by another. The point is, the inventive entity is different even when only one person is missing or added to a reference. And again, this sums up 35 U.S.C. 102A pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102B. 35 U.S.C. 102B has some similarities to 102A. It states that a person shall be entitled to a patent unless the invention was patented or described in a printed publication in this or a foreign country or in public use or on sale in this country more than 1 year prior to the date of the application for patent in the U.S. Pay special attention to the absence of the word by others and the addition of the phrase more than 1 year prior to the date of the application. If you put all this together, 102B will bar an applicant from gaining a patent on his or her own work in instances where the prior art date was more than 1 year from the date of the application. Inventors must take care not to let their invention get out. In addition, if an inventor decides to patent their invention in a foreign country first, they had better quickly get their ducks in a row for a U.S. filing. Otherwise, their application may be rejected under 102B. Note that prior art under 102B includes patents or printed publications filed anywhere in the world, but the public use or sale must have occurred in the U.S. So technically, an inventor could sell his new invention in Mexico and still be eligible to gain a U.S. patent provided no one steals his idea and claims it as their own before he gets around to patenting it. As for public use, all it takes is for just one person to use the invention for the bar to hold. In addition, if the invention is used or sold, even if it is hidden away from view, the inventor will be barred from gaining the patent. The PTO is just as strict about the on-sale bar. A single sale or even a single offer to sell may bar a patent. The offer to sell doesn't even have to be made public. And offers for sale that took place in the U.S. may form a statutory bar even if the invention was actually used in a foreign country. To make matters worse, a patent may be barred even if the inventor did not know that the application was placed on sale in the U.S. As for use and sale, remember that an inventor may offer to sell the rights to his or her invention through an assignment. What we are talking about here in 102B is actually different. The type of sale that provokes the on-sale bar is one that involves selling the actual product or invention. Note that it is also okay to perform experimental testing on the invention, but that experimental testing may only be performed until the invention has been perfected. And again, this covered 35 U.S.C. 102B pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102C. Luckily, 35 U.S.C. 102C and D are not quite as complex as the two previous statutory bars. Let's start with C. 102C simply states that a person shall not be entitled to a patent unless he or she has abandoned the invention. An example of abandonment is when the inventor reduces an idea to practice, but never bothers to file a patent application. For example, if Tom comes up with a new way to recharge batteries, but 10 years go by before he files a patent, he may encounter some trouble patenting his invention. Chances are that he or someone else will have written about the battery recharger or even patented the idea themselves. Since Tom never pushed the idea forward, the PTO will deem that he abandoned his invention during that 10-year period, and he may not get credit for it in the form of a patent. In order to qualify under 102C, the abandonment must be a deliberate surrender of the patent rights. The surrender will be considered deliberate due to either actions or inactions by the inventor that are either expressed or implied. In the PTO's eyes, if an inventor goes through the trouble of reducing an idea to practice, it only follows that he or she would apply for a patent. Therefore, if Tom goes through the motions of reducing his battery recharger idea to practice, he really needs to move forward and send in a patent application. If he is not serious about gaining a patent, he will merely use the battery charger himself and maybe allow some friends and neighbors to also use it. After a couple of years go by and Tom has let others know about his invention but has yet to file for a patent, it is implied that he has abandoned the invention. Abandoned the invention. If Tom wanted the patent, he wouldn't share his idea with anyone and let the time go by without filing an application. And again, this covered 35 U.S.C. 102C pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102D. If the same application was patented in a foreign country more than 12 months before the filing of the U.S. application, a rejection under 35 U.S.C. 102D will be made. There are four conditions under 102D that must be met for it to apply. First of all, the foreign application must have been filed for more than 12 months before the filing date of the U.S. application. Note that the date of the U.S. parent application is used in cases concerning continuing applications. Second, both the U.S. and foreign applications must be filed by the same applicant, his or her legal representatives, or assignees. Third, the foreign application must have actually issued as a patent or an inventor certificate. Basically, this means that the patent rights must be enforceable. Therefore, if the application was rejected and never patented in a foreign country, 102D may not be used. Fourth and finally, the same invention must be involved. If Tony and Jay successfully patent their bug collecting apparatus in Brazil in 2000 and then try to patent an alternate insect chamber in the U.S. in 2001, they won't be barred under 102D because the claims are different between the two applications. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102D is fairly straightforward. Just remember the four conditions. If an applicant wants to patent their invention in the U.S. and several other countries, it might be best to apply in all the countries simultaneously with a PCT application. And again, this covered 35 U.S.C. 102D pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102E. This one is tough. Please remember, this is just an overview. You may learn more about any and all of these statutes by reviewing the MPEP or our in-depth training. 35 U.S.C. 102E deals with prior art by another that was filed in the U.S. before the invention by the applicant for the new patent. Remember that only one inventor need to be different for the application to be considered filed by another. The trick with 102E is that the international filing date of an application will sometimes qualify as the U.S. filing date if certain criteria are met. So, what are the criteria? First of all, in order to qualify, the prior art must be one of the following types of references: a U.S. patent, a U.S. application publication, or a World Intellectual Property Organization, or WIPO, publication of an international application. If the prior art is one of the above-mentioned references, then you need to determine whether or not it claims the benefit of an international application. If the reference does not result from or claim the benefit of an international application, then you can stop there. The 102E date of the reference is the earliest effective U.S. filing date, and that's pretty much that. However, if the reference does result from or claim the benefit of an international application, then there is a chance that its filing date under 102D might become the filing date of the international application. Now, in order for this to be a possibility, the international application must meet the following three conditions. First, it must have an international filing date on or after November 29, 2000. That's because this law wasn't in effect any earlier. Second, this international application must designate the U.S. And third, it must be published under PCT Article 21.2 in English. If the reference meets all of these conditions, the international filing date will be the U.S. filing date for prior art purposes under 35 U.S.C. 102E. And again, please remember that this just covered 35 U.S.C. 102E pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102F. 35 U.S.C. 102F bars an applicant from attempting to patent subject matter that he or she did not invent. It's imperative that the inventors listed on the application conceived of the invention and either reduce it to practice on their own or had someone reduce it to practice for them. An inventor may adopt ideas from many different sources, but they may not derive the invention from another inventor or steal it from that matter. 102F is fairly self-explanatory. However, there is one catch. An application may be rejected under 102F even if just one contributing inventor is not listed on the application. For example, Joe, Bill, and Jane, who's Joe's girlfriend at the time, all partake in conceiving of an idea and reducing it to practice. But Jane ends up breaking up with Joe, and Joe is so mad he convinces Bill to leave her off the application. If the PTO finds out that Jane was a joint inventor in the subject matter, then the application will be barred from gaining a patent. This covered 35 U.S.C. 102F pre-AIA. Pre-AIA 35 U.S.C. 102G. We finally reached the last of the statutory bars in pre-AIA 102. This last one, 102G, is the basis for interference practice in the U.S. Basically, if two applications, or an application and a patent, exist with almost simultaneous filing dates within 6 months or so, claiming the same subject matter, that application will be barred under 102G. This law relates to issues of conception of the invention, reduction to practice, and diligence to file. Conception occurs when the inventor has thought up the idea and realized its potential. Reduction to practice occurs when the idea is made to work. At this stage, no further experimentation is necessary, and the invention may actually be used. Diligence to file is the time between reduction to practice and the filing date of the application. A serious inventor would immediately file his or her application after reducing the invention to practice. Waiting to file is not beneficial, and in some cases, the PTO may look upon a long wait, say 3 years for example, as an abandonment of the application. An inventor who waits several years to file an application after reducing the invention to practice may lose the rights to the patent to another inventor, even if he or she was the first to reduce the invention to practice. And again, this covered 35 U.S.C. 102G pre-AIA. 35 U.S.C. 102, the first inventor to file system. This version of 35 U.S.C. 102 is effective March 16, 2013, and applies to all applications with an effective date on or after that date. It also applies to all the claims of an application when one or more of the claims has an effective date on or after March 16, 2013. The main difference with this system is that the right of a patent for a given invention lies with the first person to file the patent application, regardless of the date of the invention. There are four subsections of this version of 102, called the AIA version. Keep in mind that this version of 102 replaces the older version for applications with a claim that has an effective date on or after March 16, 2013. The AIA version of 102A1 essentially states that a person shall be entitled to a patent unless the claimed invention was patented, described in a printed publication, or in public use, on sale, or otherwise available to the public before the effective filing date of the claimed invention. If the same subject matter in the application was known about somewhere else, then it's not patentable. That's because it's not new, or what the PTO likes to refer to as novel. Under the AIA version, the date of the invention is not the relevant factor. Instead, it's the effective filing date of the application that matters. This version also leaves out the non-public sales activity. The second part to AIA, paragraph A, subsection 2, states that the subject matter in the patent application may not have been involved in another issued patent or patent application filed prior to the effective filing date of the application that names another inventor. So, if Joe files a patent application on January 3, 2014 that claims the same invention disclosed in a patent application filed by Jane on October 1, 2012, then Joe's invention is not novel. The second section of this statute is referred to as Section B. This section covers the exceptions to Part A. These are the exceptions to the novelty bars covered in A. The first exception, also known as B1, refers to disclosures made 1 year or less before the effective filing date of the claimed invention. The exception is that if the disclosure was made 1 year or less before the effective filing date of the claimed invention, it will not be considered prior art, and thereby not a bar if the disclosure was made, even if made publicly, by the inventor or joint inventor, or by another who obtained it from the inventor or joint inventor. This keeps the inventor from having their own work count as prior art against them, as long as the disclosure was made up to 1 year before the effective filing date of the claimed invention, even if made publicly. The second part to this is known as B2. The exception to this part referred to disclosures appearing in applications and patents. The exceptions include when the subject matter disclosed was obtained from the inventor or a joint inventor, whether directly or indirectly, or if publicly disclosed, or the subject matter disclosed and the claimed invention, not later than the effective filing date of the claimed invention, were owned by the same person or subject to an assignment to the same person. Summarizing AIA 102A and B. The provisions of the first inventor to file system includes a 1 year grace period. Specifically, prior art disclosures made publicly available 1 year or less before the effective filing date can be overcome by the applicant showing the prior art disclosure was made by another who obtained the disclosed subject matter from the applicant, a deriver, or two, the applicant or a deriver publicly disclosed the subject matter before the date of the prior art disclosure. A prior disclosure of the invention, which is publicly available more than 1 year before the effective filing date of an application, is a statutory bar. For prior art purposes, U.S. patents and patent application publications are available as prior art as of any foreign priority date, provided that the subject matter being relied upon is disclosed in the foreign priority application. AIA 102C. Section C states that applicants can rely on common ownership or joint research agreement provisions to overcome rejections under 35 U.S.C. 102. It discusses what subject matter is considered as owned by the same person in light of joint research agreements. It essentially lists out the rules for common ownership concerning Part B, 2 of AIA 102. This section states that subject matter is deemed to have been owned by the same person if the following conditions are met. Number one, the subject matter was developed and the claimed invention was made by or on behalf of one or more parties to a joint research agreement that was in effect on or before the effective filing date of the claimed invention. Two, the claimed invention was made as a result of activities undertaken within the scope of the joint research agreement. And three, the application for patent for the claimed invention discloses or is amended to disclose the names of the parties to the joint research agreement. AIA 102D. Section D helps determine whether a patent or application for patent is prior art to a claimed invention under subsection A. As outlined in Section D, the patent or application will be considered to have been effectively filed as of the actual filing date of the patent or application for patent. In instances where the patent or application for patent is entitled to claim a right of priority or to claim the benefit of an earlier filing date, it will be considered effectively filed as of the filing date of the earliest date of the application that describes the subject matter.